Well, I first want to congratulate Connor and Rhett and Sydney, who isn't able to be with us today, but I want to congratulate you for reaching this milestone, and I want to say to you, as you know, those of you that went through high school, especially in a public school arena, I'll just say this, let reality begin. You know what I'm saying? I spent 15 years of my life teaching and coaching in a public school before I came here. So graduation Sunday is one of my favorite services. It really is. I do care about young people, though I'm no longer one of them. And I care about the choices that they make. And I love to learn. I still love to learn and I love to teach. So in light of that, I'm actually going to share with you a message that I first preached a version of this about 15 years ago. And I thought, you know, let's see, how old was Connor and Rhett 15 years? They were three. They probably weren't in here then. So I thought this might be good because it was relevant back then in the culture in which you will present your life as you move out from here and from your home. And I think it's even more relevant today. So I'm going to give you three illustrations really today to make one point. I couldn't decide which one of the three illustrations to use. So like Seth, I decided to use all three. And hopefully at least one of them will challenge and inspire you. I've tried to be honest with you all in my 18 years here, and I think you know that I am not immune to going through some difficult, dark times, if you will, in life. And Jesus told his disciples that in this world they would face, what's the word he used? Trouble. In the Greek, that word is pressure or thlipsis. I love that Greek word. It means pressure. We will be pressured in this world. And so I have often buckled a bit under that thlipsis. And I just want to ask you, do you know what is instrumental, what has been instrumental in encouraging me through those down times? And I'll tell you, it starts with the G. And you're probably thinking, God, right now, but I'm here to tell you. It's golf. So if that will stay there, yeah, get my trusty 8-iron out here. You thought I was going to say God, but I like to golf. I'm finding that life is a lot like golf. Years ago when I was teaching two of my boys to play, I remember we were teeing off on a particular hole and there was trouble down the right-hand side. I think if I recall, it was big water. Lake of water there down the right side, and I told my son, who tended to hit the ball to the right, I said, son, whatever it takes, do whatever it takes to keep the ball from going to the right, whatever. I mean, if you have to aim clear over here, then do it. Just don't hit the ball right. So guess what he does? He tees it up. He hits a pretty crisp shot. This is foam rubber, okay? It's foam rubber. He tees it up. Should I?
Yeah.
What if it frightens you? I mean, what if it hits you in the head?
You told us it's foam rubber.
It is foam rubber, isn't it? So he tees it up, takes a few practice swings. I said, don't go right. Do whatever it takes to go right. And my son promptly steps up and he hits the ball. Straight to the right. Well, I'm dad, right? So I shake my head. It's my turn. So I tee it up and take a few practice swings. I'm going to show him how it's done, right? So here's what I do. I tee it up. And I hit it that way. Not that way. That way. Straight left. We were both in trouble. I hit it so far left. I like to call it Star Trek golf because I went that day where no man has gone before. Now, this little story has a point. It illustrates a few things about life. First of all, there is trouble. Rhett, Connor, Sydney, there's trouble out there. And many people so focus on the trouble that they either hit right into it or they overreact to it and end up in trouble opposite from that which they had feared. Now, that's really not the point. I'm coming to the point right now. Think with me. How do we know, looking at those two shots, how do we know that both my son's shot and my shot ended up in wrong spots? How do we know that? Because there's a goal, a target. There is a target. There was a green that way, not that way, not that way, but that way. There was this green with a flag, and that flag was standing in a 4-inch wide hole in the ground. And because there was a target, I could tell that both my son and I were in trouble. You see, the target, here's the point, the target, the goal, gave direction, purpose, and even a definition to trouble. To what a good shot is, what a bad shot is. See, in life, the target of life gives definition to what's good direction, what's bad direction. So listen, my first illustration, my first point, is of utmost importance that you know the target. If you don't know the target, you won't even know which way to hit your next shot. So illustration number one, know the target. Connor, what's illustration number one? Know the target. Rhett, where are you at? I see you knowing the target. Know the target. Got it? All right. Now, illustration number two. It comes from a play. I used to have this memorized, so I'm going to try it from memory. It's a monologue from a play I liked when I was a young man called The Man of La Mancha. And I'm going to do it in all its dramatic glory. Okay? I'm going to try to. Here we go. These are the words of one Don Quixote de la Mancha. And he said this, life as it is, I've lived for over 40 years and I've seen life as it is. Pain, misery, cruelty. I've heard the voices of God's noblest creatures, moans from bundles of filth in the street. I've been a soldier and a slave. I've seen my comrades die in battle or fall more slowly under the lash in Africa. I've held them at the last moments. These were men who saw life as it is. And yet they died despairing. No glory, no brave last words, but in their eyes, filled with confusion, asking why. Why? I do not think they were asking why they were dying, but why they had ever lived. Ah, life itself seems lunatic. Who knows where madness lies? Perhaps to be too practical, this may be madness. To seek treasure where there is only trash. Too much sanity may be madness. But the maddest of all is to see life as it is and not as it should be. I learned that when I was in college. Thank you. When I used to quote that, I was always a little bit uneasy because I was young, and there's a line in there that says, I've lived for over 40 years, and I've seen life as it is, and I wasn't 40. I wasn't even close. But then all of a sudden, as if in a dream, I stand before you here today, and I'm 57. And it is a blur how I got from there to here. When I first memorized those lines, I was a single young man, and then I was married to Bonnie. Best thing that ever happened to me, except for Jesus. And I spent 5 years with her just as a family of two. We miscarried twins a couple years in, 3 years in, right? Which is devastatingly difficult. But we were 5 years together as a family. And then, boom, I had five children. And then we moved, and all of life and relationships changed. From teacher to preacher. Then I had a sixth child who was birthed into our home at age 12. And then, wedding. And then we had a granddaughter. And then another granddaughter. And then a grandson. And then after that, I don't know if it was boys or girls, I can't remember, another grandkid. And now there's a seventh one on the way. And let me tell you something, graduates, the speed and the brevity of life is blowing me away. And maybe today, Connor and Red, as you sit here, maybe you're beginning to feel that just a little bit. Because as you sit here today, after years of thinking that graduation is never going to come, it's arrived. And after all the memories and the maladies of school, you're suddenly shocked at how fast those 13 years have crawled by. I got news for you. It never slows down. And it never backs up. 13 years, they're gone. And whether you loved those years or hated them, whether you invested them or squandered them, one thing's for sure, you can't go back and do them over again. They are gone. You got one shot. That shot's over. And now, back to our golf illustration, you got to play the ball where it lies. You have to hit your next shot. And this shot is totally different from the last one. And yet there's one thing the same about it. You only get one swing at this one also. So my challenge to you today is this. Do you know for sure where the target is? You see, just like the target gives meaning to the game of golf, the target in life gives meaning and purpose to life. Do you know what the target is? And do you want to live life as it is? Or do you want to live life as it should be? Because life as it is isn't so hot. The target is to live life as it should be, and one day it will be. Now, what do I mean by that when I talk about life as it is or life as it should be? Let me explain it this way. If you just look around and listen to the messages. Now, remember, I preached this 15 years ago, and the messages were strong. They are so much louder today and so much more desperate and angry today along the same lines, but so much more. Listen to those messages, the popular philosophies and ideas. Life as it is tells you you're supposed to work hard, do the best you can, be a good person, live a good life, do all your homework because it's important to your future. Don't judge anyone or anything because that's the only wrong thing. Everyone's allowed to live life any way they want and do anything they want, whatever that means. The only thing you should never, ever, ever do is say, this is right and that is wrong. Just do your own thing and be okay with everybody else doing theirs. That's what I mean by life as it is. In other words, there isn't really a target. You make up your own target. Here's how you play the game of golf by our culture's standards. You hit the ball, and then wherever it lands, you go to it. You take out a little trowel and you dig underneath the ball and dig out the dirt, let the ball fall in the hole, and then you say, hole in one, hole in one. But the only problem with that is that's not the real game of golf, and it's not the reality of life either. Everyone doesn't get a hole in one. There are good shots, there are bad shots, because there is a target. And even though pop culture says there isn't a target, there is. Just like the target in golf defines the game, there's a target in life that defines life. His name is Jesus. So, my illustration number one, know the target. And number two, live life as it should be. That's what that book is for. I got one more illustration for you. And it comes from a graduation. I attended a graduation service years ago. And you know how everybody has their motto, their class's motto. Well, let me share with you that motto. It went dramatically like this. It was plastered right there behind the stage. It said, "It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?" Send chills up your back, yeah? Yeah. I like it. It says, you know, step up to the plate. It says courage. It says determination. It says go for it. It says Nike, just do it, you know. I agree wholeheartedly with its spirit, but it has a gaping hole right in the center of it. The motto doesn't give the answer to this question. What is it? What does this mean? It has to start somewhere. See, it is left undefined. And it's that way on purpose because that's life as it is. You have to make up your own it. You're the master of your own destiny. What is it? It's up to you. So our kids step up to the tee box. They tee it up and they ask, okay, where's the target? And we're telling them there isn't one. Hit it anywhere and dig a hole. And our kids are thinking, what's the point in that? Exactly. So though eloquent in its form, this motto projects determination without direction. It proclaims courage without a course. It fights battles without victory. And it runs races without a starting line or a finish line. So why run hard? Why run at all? What's the point? Is there a point? What is it? Is there a target? What is life as it should be? You see, people can't live life without a vision for life as it should be. You are not the master of your own destiny, Connor and Rhett and Sydney. You aren't the definition of your own truth. You aren't the arbiter of your own brand of justice. No. So my challenge to you today is from this day forward to step out from the whatever crowd who live life as it is with politically correct blinders on to the really important questions of meaning, of purpose, of direction, and of eternity. And I would challenge you to live life as it should be because there is a target. There are answers. And as Don Quixote de la Mancha declared, the maddest of all is to live life as it is and not as it should be. So now comes the best part. What is life as it should be? What is it? What is the target on the golf course of life? What is it? Is your target college? Is it your career? Is it pleasure? Is it entertainment, family, money, fame, acceptance, significance? What is life as it should be? What is it? What are you here for, in other words? And is there an it that fills all the lesser its of life with meaning and purpose for all of life, even beyond the grave? And I am happy as a lark to tell you, yes, there is. But you'll have to be willing to step out from the crowd and face the truth. You'll have to be willing to pledge your allegiance, your soul, life, your eternity to something that the culture doesn't like, doesn't agree with, frowns upon, is angry with. This is not the truth you make up on your own, but the truth that is discovered only by those who humbly seek after it. The truth revealed to you by the God who made you. So, simple question, what is it from the motto? Number one, I got three things that describe it. Number one, it is not about you. This is mistake number one that people make in life. They think that life is about them. It's about their pleasure, their comfort, their significance. And the culture says, yep, that's it. That is it. It is about you. What was that? That Maybelline commercial? You're worth it. Remember that? Yeah. It's not about you. When we choose to believe that we define our own truth, we have made ourselves to be God, and you and I were not designed and created to be made to be God. We were made to worship the one true God. The Bible says this, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Don't you like that? I just love that. I suppose it would aggravate you very much if you didn't believe it. But it's not about you. Number two is, it is about God and his son, Jesus Christ. It's his purpose, his plan, his glory. The Bible says one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I believe that. I will bow willingly on that day. Everything finds its eternal purpose in Jesus Christ. Without him, he's the target. You will just be hitting the ball and aimlessly and then digging meaningless holes where it lands. And it really isn't going to matter how many or how much applause you get from that or how much commendation you have for your make-believe hole-in-one. Because that's not the way the game of life is designed to be played. It doesn't work that way. So number one, what is it? It's not about you. Number two, it is about God. And number three, it is not an accident. It is not an accident. God created your soul, like Dale was saying, to accomplish something for him. There is a reason for you, for your life, and that reason is wrapped up in a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 46 10 says, God is speaking here. It says, I make known the end from the beginning. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. I believe God when he said that. And in my submission to that is where I have found life to begin. Let me tell you something. That's what I want to say to you now. I found that. I found it. And graduates, that's what you're looking for. I found what you've been looking for. And I hope and believe that you both have found that along with me. And I am privileged to be able to share it with you. And here's the thing about it. I've actually talked to people and said these kinds of things. You know, if I'm wrong about the target, if I'm wrong, I lose nothing. Because it really doesn't matter, because I'm just out there digging my hole in one like everybody else is. But if I'm right and there's only one target and people insist on creating their own, then they're risking it all. Listen, the target, Jesus, is only for the humble who admit they're it, wasn't it. It's for the courageous, the brave, the thoughtful. The ones who are willing to step out from the acceptance of the crowd and be laughed at. The ones who are willing to risk it all to gain it all because he is all. The ones who are willing to die so that they might live and lead others to the way of real life. Not life as it is, but life as it should be. Now, I just before we close here, I want to take one little rabbit trail. I told you I found it. And I want to ask this question. How do I know that when I say that? How do I know that it is true? That's a great question. And I want to share with you, it's probably oversimplified, but I think it's solid, at least as a foundation. Let me tell you. I know that Jesus is true just like I know or learn anything else. You guys, your students, I ask you, you had 13 years of education. How do you know anything? How do you know? Well, there are two ways that we, quote, know something. Number one is by authority. It's by authority. When you read in a textbook, for example, about Adolf Hitler in World War II, how do you know that what you're reading is true? Did you go over to Germany and investigate all the evidence around Hitler? I didn't. I've never been to Germany. Some of you may have, but I've never been. Now, you see, you know things. You say you know things by authority. Most of what we say we know, we learned from someone we trust as an authority on the subject. It's what you do in every research paper you've ever written. What do? You cite the authority. Well, everything that I have presented to you today, I know because Jesus is a reliable authority, and this is his word. So number one, by authority. How do you know? Number two, by reality. If you walked out these doors today and you said, wait, look, the grass out there is blue. Everyone would be able to reliably determine your statement to be false because green and blue are colors and your statement does not fit with reality. So when I stimulate and direct thought through preaching on the subject of life, purpose, and the Bible and meaning, I know by correspondence that it is true. I look, I make observations at what the Bible has to say about mankind. I look, I make observations in my own heart. I find it to be true there. I look, I make observations, and it tells me about creation in God's Word and the God who created it. And that corresponds to reality of what I observe around me. Evolution does not. I say this because of, you ready for this? Paperclips. Say paperclips. Paperclips. That's right. I would never walk down the sidewalk and find a paperclip on that sidewalk and declare that it was an accident. Couldn't be. It obviously results from a designer who had a purpose in mind for that paperclip. Even if I don't know what the purpose is or who the designer is, it's obvious that it had both a purpose and a purpose giver. Listen, graduates, your body, your soul, and your spirit is a bit more complex than a paperclip. It more obviously than a paperclip has a purpose and a purpose giver. What I'm challenging you today to do is to commit to pledge your allegiance to both. Your allegiance to your purpose in Him and to start looking in that purpose giver. Let me get you started. His name is Jesus. And He wrote that book we just gave you. How do we know? Because of authority and because of reality. It's time for me to close, so let me just close with the challenge, just wrap everything up here. And this isn't just for our graduates, because every day of our lives we gotta answer these same questions. It's just at this point for these two young men and for Sydney, it's heightened the sense of purpose and meaning and what's happened and what's next is because you're at a new step. You're gonna step out, you're gonna step over, you're gonna step. And so it's heightened. But we each got to deal with this every day, don't we? Are you going to live life as it is, or are you going to live life as it should be? What's the target? What is it? It is Jesus, the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And my counsel to you is to grab on with all your heart, your mind, your allegiance, and take His new direction because He is the way. And take His new knowledge because He is the truth. And take His new energy because He is the life. And then when you step up to hit your next shot, you'll be able to tell whether it was a good shot or a bad shot because you'll know what the target is. And if you'll open your soul to Him, He will come in. He guarantees it. He promises it. And He will live the rest of your life with you. He will make you what you created, what He created you to be, if you'll continually allow Him to do so. And He will direct you to life as it should be. Listen to His words. I close with Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. He who has an ear, let him hear. Thank you. Father in heaven, we look to you for meaning, purpose, life itself. Thank you for the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, that he came as the Lamb of God to take the sin of the world upon himself so that we could be offered life from you, the life of your indwelling presence. Father, I pray for Rhett and Connor and Sydney that you would just set them apart in Christ Jesus to accomplish your purpose, and that through them, many would hear the gospel and come to know their Savior. And wherever they go, in whatever career, and whatever else they do, that you are the center of their lives, that everything revolves around, centers upon, and is for you. Because the reality of physical life and eternal life is that you are that center. And so I pray that they would conform to that reality and find your power and your love and your meaning and purpose for them. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.